Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to the sport. We're back again. We recorded 14 episodes in 14 days last week, and it was fun, but the really surprising thing that we decided to do was actually come back and not record only one episode a month, but come back the week following. So I'm John Martheller. I'm here, and with me is Stu.
Oh, hey, John. How's it going?
Not too bad. We actually, obviously, listeners, you can't see this, but Stu and I appear to match pretty nicely on the Zoom. We appear to be wearing the same shirt.
Olive green shirt, shoulder length hair. That's all I don't know.
I got shoulder length gray hair now too, because my children are young. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a good look. I'm glad we put on our team jerseys for tonight, I guess is what I'm saying.
Correct.
Speaking of team jerseys, speaking of teams, speaking of people who should be in prison, Stu, where were you when Phil Cuzzy or possibly Phil Cuzzy came back into the Minnesota sports fan consciousness?
Sound asleep, John. I was it was 5-1. I believe Max Muncy had just hit another home run, so I just went to bed, didn't think anything of it. Wake up, see the final is 9-8 as I'm picking up dog shit outside from my dog's leavings in the morning. And then made the mistake of logging onto social media to see how that 9-8 came to be. And just the anger came right back, John.
It was a real blast from the past this morning. The vitriol.
It really was. They even fucked up calling a double. I mean, that's the serial killer letting the cops know that you can't catch him. He's just his signature move, fucking up a double. Oh, God.
Honestly,
I'm so glad I didn't see it. I'm so glad.
The double, balls and strikes, obviously, those are bad calls. But the double was an amazingly bad call. It was like the crooked wrestling referee call. Mm-hmm. The ball hit the line. It was a ground ball. It hit the line. The second bounce took place on the other side of the bag, and it had to be at least a foot foul at that point.
Yeah.
There's no level of geometry that would allow you to draw anything but a parabola between those. It was amazing. It was absolutely amazing.
The umpiring was so bad, even the usual suspects who say, well, you were 4 of 17 with runners in scoring position. If the refs aren't beating you, you're beating yourselves. Even those people, by which I mean Dan Barrero, couldn't even say that the Twins didn't get absolutely fucked. I mean, everyone saw it. It was so bad. And now what that leaves them with is their fifth starter tonight against Clayton Kershaw and no bullpen to back him up. I mean, they're absolutely going to lose 12-2 tonight. They have to hope they can like sneak one out tomorrow because they got no chance tonight. Not a chance.
I have the pregame show on this TV here, and they went from Rocco Baldelli. They were doing an interview with Rocco Baldelli in his office, and you know, he's not exactly wearing a suit and tie. He's got like a t-shirt on. He looks like a beleaguered youth hockey coach at this point. Just, you know, the scandals may go all the way to the top, and there's some money missing, and the Channel 5 eyewitness, the I team, has cornered him in a parking lot. And then it made it worse because they cut immediately from that to Trevor Plouffe is doing the sideline commentary or whatever. And Trevor Plouffe somehow, in the interim between stopping being a baseball player and now being a sideline guy, has become impossibly handsome.
Oh, God, like, that's a good dude.
L.A. Law, Harry Hamlin kind of handsome. I don't remember. I mean, obviously, I was more concerned with his shortstop play when he was a baseball player, but I don't remember him being quite so impossibly handsome before.
Yeah. It's wild. And the react, like, Glenn Perkins basically said Phil Cuzzy is a mobster. I mean, he just basically just torched him on social.
Dick this Bremmer, is why Glenn Perkins is our favorite. Our favorite.
Dick Bremmer was so mad last night, even though he didn't say much about the Kirilloff at bat. The tone of voice is the tone of voice of a dad who's been watching his kids fuck around at mass for an hour, and he gets them back to the car. they're not stopping at Dairy Queen on the way home.
The doors of the station wagon shut. And it's just that, silence.
That tone of his voice was just so just boiling mad. Oh God, it is everyone's. I mean, and what are you gonna? I mean, in the long run, it doesn't matter because the Central is so bad.
Yeah.
This game, they could even get swept by the Dodgers. They'll probably be fine because they have a day off on Thursday. They have the Angels Friday through Sunday. The Angels will find a way to lose two or three of those games, even though both Ohtani and Mike Trout will do something incredible in all three of those games, probably. So they'll be fine. They'll go 2-4 or maybe 3-3 if they're lucky on this road trip, and it'll be fine. It's just a reminder of Minnesota's place in the sports hierarchy. That stuff does not happen in reverse.
No.
It does not happen to the Dodgers against the Twins. It simply does not happen. It might happen to the Dodgers against the Red Sox.
Yeah.
It might happen to the Dodgers against the Cubs or the Yankees, but it will not happen against the Minnesota Twins. It will not happen against the Detroit Tigers. It will never happen against the Colorado Rockies. I mean, it just it doesn't. It never does. It never will. You have to make peace with that to still enjoy these games.
They just so one thing I heard this morning, I think it was on I always end up plugging Mike Rand's podcast, but they said that the Twins have lost 11 in a row to the Dodgers.
Yeah.
Which, you know, again, that's not quite like their futility against the Yankees, their playoff futility, but still it's. That's hard to do, and that's dating back. Seven or 8 years now.
Yeah, it also coincides with a really good stretch of play for the Dodgers and the Twins being pretty not great.
Yeah,
so I mean that does. I mean that's part of it, but I mean, I was optimistic last Thursday, and that proved to be at least correct in the short term. I'm going to continue being optimistic in that they could have laid down and died last night very easily. But I mean,
true. I thought that they were down 3-0 before the game started, basically.
Yeah. It's like, they did. They got a short start from their number one starter. But they fought back. They got a 3-run home run from a guy they sent to the minors because he couldn't hit a changeup. I mean,
and they threw him a fastball.
Yeah.
That was great.
That was great. Buxton was good over scouting. 27, and he comes in and just like helps him in the late innings. I mean, it's been a very encouraging stretch of play by the things that they can control since last we spoke. And again, it is a small sample size, whatever. They put the Chicago Cubs in the fucking ground over the weekend, which was great. They played the Dodgers straight, would have won last night if the umpires weren't corrupt, awful people who should all be in jail, space jail, the worst jail of all. So I continue to be optimistic about the Twins, acknowledging that they're going to get fucking boat raced tonight. So that's
well, as we cover the game live, they let off with a double.
Yep. Told you. Oh, the Twins did?
Yeah, the Twins did.
Oh, fun. That'll be fun.
All right. So here's something we need to talk about.
You apologizing to the Twins offense?
No.
Okay.
This came up. I was at the game last Thursday, and they did whatever, I can't remember the name of the game, but they did the scoreboard game where the mountain climber climbs up the Price is Right game.
Yeah.
I can't remember what that game is called, but
Hitchhiker, somebody... Hiker Andes, something like that. I don't know. The Matterhorn. Wasn't it the Matterhorn?
It's very possibly the Matterhorn. I wasn't paying attention to the name, but I did pay attention to the game, and it was guessing the age of Twins players. Mm-hmm. And one of the players mentioned was Donovan Solano. Do you know how old Donovan Solano is? I thought Donovan Solano, I hadn't heard of him, so I assumed he was 27, 26, somewhere in that range.
No, he played for the Reds for a while, and no one pays attention to the Reds anymore.
Right.
So he's probably like 33, 34, right?
He's 35 years old.
Holy crap.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, Cincinnati is like this, like Twilight Zone now. Like, and I mean, you and I grew up with them being like, you know, a good, like solid. Right. I mean, I grew up with them being a fucking monster.
Yeah. And then when I mean, grew up, they still had good Barry in the 80s Larkin, as well.
But like since like Eric the Davis. mid-90s, like ever since Chris Sabo hung up the safety glasses. They've just been a black hole. I mean, nothing. Yeah.
It's just so. Joey. It's like Joey Votto paying his penance for a long series of sins that have
that
seen
we don't
him
want
have to
ever know about.
Yeah.
If Keith Morrison ever finds out what he did, he is done.
He's been sentenced to play baseball in Cincinnati for 25 years. Joey Votto has been there literally forever, just getting hits and looking sad.
Yeah, as you would be. You're playing for the Cincinnati Reds. So
it's a weird, I mean, the whole thing's weird in Cincinnati. And they're terrible this year, aren't they?
Oh, they're awful. And they've got
terrible in the way that Pittsburgh was supposed to be terrible.
Yeah. I mean, the guys that they got for Tyler Molly, Spencer Steer's been playing third base for them all year.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know that? I didn't know that.
Well,
I didn't know that until they had the injury update. And I know Encarnacion Strand.
Yep.
Like, or he's Strand, like their best prospect. He looks one like he's the, actually one of the two. Like legitimately good. So that's going to be a bummer for Minnesota. It'll be what everyone brings up on KFAN for the next 25 years.
Right.
But they're just bad. They're so bad, John. They're not good.
I was like, when we were talking about guys the Twins traded away, Lamonte Wade was on that. I had completely forgotten about Lamonte Wade, so it was a genuine shock when it was like, oh, by the way, Lamonte Wade is San Francisco's leadoff hitter and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, like Giants aren't anything special either, if I remember right. But he is their leadoff hitter, and I think the guy we got from him ended up being like was that the Sam Dyson trade?
Yeah. No, I don't think that it was, but it was a similar trade in that they got a guy and then they realized he was actually a basketball player that they somehow traded for. Like, wait a second. This says point guard? You're a point guard? How did we trade an outfielder for a point guard?
That's not good. Common mistake, but.
Ooh, another stat they just showed on the broadcast. The Twins all time are 1-11 at Dodger Stadium. I'm delighted by that because it includes like the 65 postseason.
I was going to say, that's probably what... Bob Allison probably had the only game-winning hit for him.
Have you ever been to Dodger Stadium? I've never been to Dodger
Stadium. I have not,
Stadium.
No. No, I've never been to either. I've been to Los Angeles. I've only been to Disneyland. I have not been to anything else in Los Angeles.
At this point, it's one of the sort of those baseball cathedrals that you sort of feel like you have to visit. It's like Wrigley and, I guess, Fenway and Dodger Stadium. I don't know what else would be on that list. At this point, Camden Yards might be on that list, I guess. But
Astrodome.
If you can get attacked by a rat of some kind at the Oakland's Coliseum this year before they move, like that would be
sort of to stretch out. Oakland's got to be the way to go, right?
You can set stuff on fire.
The first pitch,
nobody
drag
can.
The infield. I mean, that's the way to go. If you just
nice,
really
quiet
be
place
hands to... on at a baseball game, you've got to go to an Oakland A's game. You want a bad ace, son? Go ahead.
All right. It's starting to rain. We need some grounds crew people. You look like a strapping young lad. Get down here and pull this tarp on the infield.
Do you know how to run a scoreboard, son?
You like gladiator movies?
I realize that's exactly what I was referencing.
And if there's anybody out there who's under the age of 35 and got that reference, send us a tweet at Sporty Podcast on Twitter.
Let us know in the home. During the hours we can have visitors.
That would be the hours from 8 to 10 a.m.
Yep.
We've been up for hours drinking coffee at the McDonald's.
Yep.
I feel like I just want to commentate on this game now. The Twins scored a run.
Oh, awesome.
Alex Kirilloff just got hit with a pitch. It's
going to prove to be useless. So let's.
Yeah. Well, let's see. Because he was behind the plate last night, so he's at third. So there's only so much damage he can do over there.
Oh, good. Because he's on the third baseline, John.
That's great for us, right? What could happen out there?
What could go wrong?
You give a guy the left field line, there's no possible way to screw up down the left field line. It's like the old folks home of the umpiring room. Anyway.
Oh, God.
It's nice. This must be what Gleeman and the Geek feel like all the time. Just complaining about one Twins game at a time.
Yep. I mean, it's a good, hey, it's working out for them.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh.
I do. So every so often now I do a podcast after Loons games, after Minnesota United games. And I've started referring to it as the Loons vent line. And it's cathartic. It's really great. I understand why those things are why those Collins shows are so popular after the game.
Oh, yeah.
Man, it just feels good to just complain.
Yeah, well, correct me if I'm wrong, they just got absolutely blown up on Saturday, right?
Yeah, they're not on a good run, Stu. And Saturday they were playing at Sporting Kansas City, a place where they've lost every game they've ever played by an average score of 3-0, except somehow for the one time they played there in the playoffs, they won 3-0. But apart from that, they've played there 8 times now in Kansas City, and they've lost all of them by a combined score of 22-2. And on Saturday, it was 3-0. But the thing that you don't know that from that, I guess, is that Sporting Kansas City has been one of the worst teams in the league this year. They got their first win of the season the week before. They can't score any goals. They couldn't do anything. They were terrible. People were talking about, well, is this the week that Peter Vermes, their coach, gets fired? And Minnesota just went down there and got boat raced like usual. It's one of those things, but it's also not one of those things. Minnesota's in a bad spot right now. They can't.
That's
they
all
going to
change,
goals.
Right, John? They've got Reynoso back. Do you want to break the news?
Well, I can break the news in the sense that everybody read it on Twitter over the last couple of days, but Emmanuel Reynoso.
Wade hasn't. I know Wade has not read this.
That's
on
true.
Twitter.
We did get a tweet.
You're breaking
Wade
news
that
for
he's
Wade.
Not dead. Yeah. But Wade, I'm here for you. I'll tell you that Emmanuel Reynoso is back in Minnesota, and according to a team statement, has now been cleared for all team activities, which I don't know what that means at this point, because nobody knows for sure why he stayed in Argentina until May 15th, rather than reporting in January like he should have. Something was going on. It doesn't seem to be legal related, which it's, again, if MLS cleared him to play, then probably he's not wearing an ankle monitor. You know what I mean? Nobody knows for sure why he has not showed up yet. But the thing is, it was easy to make noises about Minnesota started the season. They won 3 out of their first 5, drew the other 2. They were undefeated through 5 matches. And at that point, it was real easy for anybody who was in the locker room or on the coaching staff to say, well, you know, when he gets back, whenever he comes, we're hopeful that he's going to come. And whenever he gets here, he's going to have to do a lot of apologizing, and we got to get him reintegrated into this group, and he's got to really show that he wants to be here. That's pretty easy to say when you're winning. Now they've lost 5 out of their last 6. They drew the other one. They've got 1 point out of their last 18. I feel like if you're Emmanuel Reynoso walking in, the amount you have to grovel to get back into your teammates' good graces has gone down significantly, because I think at this point, people are starting to understand how badly they need somebody in that role. I don't know when he will be able to play again. Obviously, he hasn't been training with the team. Nobody knows whether he's been working out or whether he's just been eating Chex Mix on the couch in Argentina. Or I don't know. What would Argentinian people eat? Beef?
Yes.
Just
big
nothing
flanks
but
of beef.
Big. If he's just been eating giant flanks of beef. The other thing about Emmanuel Reynoso's game is that it's not like it was a high work rate game to start with. So they might throw him in there even if he can't run more than 10 yards in any direction, because that's not really going to affect how he plays all that much. He's not really an energy guy out there. So we'll see, but it's over the past few weeks, it's sort of become obvious of just how much they need somebody like that. They've tried to do a number of things to potentially avoid the need for that creative central midfielder. They signed a Korean guy, Sangbin Jung, and they tried putting him there, even though that's not really his position. He's not really a get the ball and look to make a pass guy. He's more of a running straight lines kind of guy, and it didn't really work. They've tried other guys there. It hasn't really worked. They switched to a different formation. It worked a little bit, but not that well. And so I think at this point, the team would prefer that overall everyone just forgot that any of this happened, like just sort of a memory wipe. And yeah, you know, the first 11 games of the season didn't have Emmanuel Reynoso because, and anyway, I don't know if that was garbled, but now he's back and everything's good. I think they would love to hit the reset button and just start over with Reynoso in the lineup. So
I don't think they can do that though.
Well, they're a third of the way through the season. It's easy to say it's real early because it's still early. They haven't reached the summer break yet or all of the other things they're doing this summer yet, but a third of the season is gone and Minnesota is plummeting down the standings, and for good reason. They were sort of in the playoff picture and sort of not, and now they just got hammered by the 14th place team out of 14 in the Western Conference. So things are not trending in the right direction right now. They really could use some time off, except they're now on a stretch of 8 games in 29 days or something like that. So it's basically a game in the middle of the week and a game on the weekend every week for coming up until
forever or something forever, like that. Forever.
Though, I mean, the one good thing they have going for them is that they have made it into the last 16 of the U.S. Open Cup. So if they're not going to have any success in MLS, at least they've got sort of the knockout tournament in the middle of the season to lean on a little bit. So
will they play the Timberwolves in this one or not?
They do play the Timberwolves. Okay. See, here's the thing. Did you read anything about this NBA in-season tournament they're going to do next year?
My eyes glazed over so fast, I could have been chicken fingers.
That's how little Stu cares about this. So yeah. I just will say this much. I knew they were talking about doing this because at the NBA, they're sort of attempting to appeal to a global audience, and they get some soccer fandom in them, and pretty soon they're saying, well, you know, this FA Cup thing, you know, this Champions League thing that they have in soccer, we should do something like that for basketball. That would be amazing. We could have a basketball FA Cup, the magic of the basketball Champions League, all right here on our own courts. We'll be the first ones ever to do this in America. You get carried away with it because everyone who has ever started watching soccer and then learned about, well, we have the league over here, and then there's a cup competition, and then there's a European cup competition. Everybody who's ever started following soccer, who was already a sports fan and was somewhere in the media, at some point has said, you know, I've got this great idea. Hold on. Let me tell you about something called the Champions League in soccer. What if we did something like that for baseball, football, college football, whatever, making it work? It's one of the most reliable signposts on the way to good old American soccer fandom is that you start suggesting that maybe this could work here. The NBA is right in the middle of that. Apparently they've got enough soccer fans at the league office to try to make this happen. But I just assumed when I heard that they were talking about doing this, that they would do it like soccer, in that they would have a entirely separate competition, and that's not what they're doing. They are going to do this tournament cup competition kind of thing, but the games are also going to be included in the regular season schedule. They're going to be regular season games, but they're also tournament games. And then if you don't advance in the tournament, like they get to the knockout rounds, then you have to play, I don't know, extra loser games that will be scheduled at that point. It seems like the single strangest way that you could possibly do this.
Wow.
Yeah.
Stu is gone. That's where the glazing came from.
I was talking for a while there. Stu, you know, we got the Zoom window here. Stu left. And it wasn't just like, you know, the old days where he'd be napping on the couch and then we'd see him vacuuming or whatever. He was leaving specifically to make a point, which was, John, you're talking and I don't want to care about any of this.
My eyeballs turned black. It was,
yes.
Just mouth wide open. Bees started flying out. It was not a good scene.
Yes. The 1996 movie The Mummy was reenacted right here.
Boy, that's you are almost, this will be a callback later, almost hit the top six subject for the day just by
bringing
a movie up. So
I can't wait to find out what the actual top six
is. Who can wait? People are going to just skip through the rest of this just to get the last 5 minutes.
Yeah. I mean,
the whole thing, Chicken Fingers shows up just to call us bastards.
So. Which still could happen.
Which could have, no, he's, what is it? Is it hockey or baseball tonight?
Yeah, apparently, I did not understand how much hockey they have.
Oh, God.
Even in May.
Oh, yeah. Summer doesn't
Late
matter.
Night hockey. I was in Rosemount last night, and there were kids. There's a hockey
jail.
Rink. It was good. I mean, it's just, it's different there.
It is.
It's the only jail I've ever been to that has a bar in it. So,
well, yeah, you know. I mean. You do your time. You get your beer with a lime.
It's the weirdest thing. There's a Dairy Queen and a Taco John's and a McDonald's right there. And there's a Chipotle and an Arby's. I've never seen a split Chipotle and Arby's before in my life. But they're right there. And then there's a strip mall, one end of which is a hockey rink.
Yep.
It's the most Rosemount thing ever.
It's the beauty of Rosemount.
It's the beauty of Rosemount. The magic of Rosemount. It's a great town.
The magic of Rosemount. That's yeah. On their water tower. Which is filled with 2% milk. I don't know if people know that. So, not pasteurized.
It's
fuck
2%
Louis Pasteur, as the Rosemount founders have said.
It's 2% milk and stapled together McMansions as far as the eye can see. In Rosemount.
Yeah. You can go from there to Montgomery Lonsdale and I run into a single wall made out of anything but paper. Sorry. That's mean.
Finally,
I'm sure those home builders are very qualified and not at all.
Finally, we get to the conversation topic I've been waiting to, which is the poor construction standards.
The poor construction metro. Of mansions in the south, deep south, southwest metro.
It is kind of funny that every time we mention Rosemount, Chicken treats it like, oh wow, you know, this forgotten backwater, this redheaded stepchild that everyone treats poorly, and you go down there and it's just nothing but the largest houses you've ever seen.
The cops follow you out of town if you don't have a cravat. I mean, that's why don't you have a decorative scarf, sir? You clearly are in front here.
We don't take too kindly to you your kind around here.
No.
Anyway, all right, at some point we're gonna have to take a break here. I'm trying to decide whether we should take it now.
I see that. I see that number there at the top of the screen that the listeners cannot, but we can.
Well, I mean, I'm going to just play-by-play.
We have a tight five.
A tight five. I do have a tight five. I want to talk about the NHL playoffs just for a second.
Sure.
Because I just want to complain.
First of all, I found the Kraken fever that I had finally broke.
Yes, it broke for everyone.
It broke for everyone, but it was really just, I didn't know you were allowed to play the Dallas Stars straight up in game six at home. I thought that was like, you just like have to respect the legacy of the Dallas fucking Stars and just lay down for them at home. And then if anyone boos you for doing it, you get yelled at for booing them.
That's so right.
I thought that was
and then you just start making excuses like you can't possibly expect us to compete with all of the amazing talent that the Dallas Stars have acquired. Just the excuse generator working overtime. Well, you know, Jake Ottinger is the greatest goaltender of all time. Seattle lit him up for 7 goals 3 different times or something like that.
He's from the South Metro.
He is from the South Metro.
Even I knew that. And I know there's nothing that you can't be overcome from the South Metro.
That's right.
You can mount Buck Hill. It's very easy to do. You can climb it and go right down it. There's nothing you can't accomplish in the South Metro. It's very easy. You can defeat anything there.
Anyway, hold on, I got to write hockey. That down.
3 minutes. You have 3 minutes to talk about hockey.
Nothing you can't accomplish in the South Metro. Hold on. Okay, there we go. Everything's fine. Everything's fine. Oh, yes, okay. The water tower. The northernmost team, did you see this? You may have seen this somewhere. The northernmost team left in the NHL playoffs with the conference finals coming up is Las Vegas.
Yes. That's awesome. That is just awesome.
It's funny to me because it's one of those things. It's clearly bad for the NHL. Having all of the playoff teams be south of the Mason-Dixon line is a bad thing for the league. Only no one can say it's a bad thing for the league, because if they do that, then they have to talk about how having hockey in the South is idiotic and stupid. And the league can't do that, because the whole push of the entire 1990s was, well, we got to
grow the game,
we got to expand beyond the places where people care about hockey into places where nobody cares about hockey. And so if these well-supported Canadian and Northeastern United States teams have to move south, well, what can we do? The people of Carolina, the people of Florida, the people of Las Vegas need their hockey. They crave it. They love hockey. It's their favorite sport ever. They've even heard of it most of the time. And it's bad. It's bad for this to be happening again. And I say that as someone who has a grudge against all these teams, so I'm not exactly an objective observer, but I hate
even
it.
Carolina.
Even Carolina. I only hate that because
of one of our most dedicated listeners.
Yes.
Ugh.
Rogan knows what he did.
I know. He knows. He knows. Well, that sucks, John. I was hoping that at least one semi-northern team would get in, just for, you know, just for variety.
I was pulling for Seattle, but it got to the point where I was weirdly pulling for Edmonton too, which is that's not a good feeling.
No,
pulling for the Edmonton Oilers it's like if somehow through a set of circumstances too complicated to relate, you'd become a Detroit Lions fan. Like, wow, I'm really pulling for the Lions. Oh, this is not good.
Oh boy,
I don't.
My parents fucked up.
I did not want this to happen, but here I am. I'm really
the orphanage they left me at really put me in a bad spot. I'm rooting for the Detroit Lions.
Why did they leave me in Michigan? Of all the places.
In the mitten part.
In the mitten part.
Okay.
Why couldn't they have left me in Houghton? I could be a Michigan Tech hockey fan.
I could be a Michigan Tech, live in 300 feet of snow, as everyone does up there.
Yes. So that's my complaint about the NHL playoffs. I don't have to go on for 30 minutes. I think everybody understands.
We all understand
how I feel about that, but
it sucks. No one cares. Whatever. Go Panthers.
Who are you rooting for at this point? And almost, it's probably the Hurricanes. It's got to be the Hurricanes.
We've talked about how much I love Carter Verhaeghe.
So, no, the Panthers are goons. Can't do it.
No, I know. I would just to like tweak Rocket, I would root for the Panthers, I suppose.
They intentionally hurt our beautiful boy Matty Nyes. So.
That's right. Yeah.
Florida can go to
I don't know. The chicken hates the Golden Knights because of socialism, which is sure. Dallas obviously stole our team, so screw them.
I'll hate them forever.
Carolina, bullies and goons. Florida, bullies and goons. Yeah, I guess you
gotta be Carolina. All right, Rocket, I'm on your side again.
Yeah, there we go. Happy for you,
Rocket. Hurricanes all the way.
Yep.
All right. Should we take a break? Let's take a break.
Take a break.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, we're back. All right, we got just a couple more topics I want to talk about. Number one, Stu, is the NBA draft lottery fixed?
No. San Antonio won, which is, you know, whatever. They had David Robinson. They had Tim Duncan. But Chicago was in this lottery. If you're going to fix, you're going to fix in the Bulls' favor.
Yes, yeah, the NHL is like, come on, guys. It's why would you not? Chicago, you have to give it to Chicago because reasons. The NHL is just shaking
Antonio
their head
is
right
the
now.
Fourth or fifth city you think of when you think of Texas. So, I mean, it's just because they have a history and like a Hall of Fame coach. That's why you think it's fixed. But no, if they were going to fix it, they would fix it in favor of Chicago 10 times out of 9. So This one, I think, is actually on the up and up.
Is San Antonio a bigger city than Green Bay, Wisconsin? It probably is. Every city in Texas is like, it's just a small town.
Robbinsdale is bigger than Green Bay. I mean, it's
16 million people.
Yeah, no one. Yeah, just on principle, every city is bigger than Green Bay, just because criminals don't count for your population.
I was trying to think of. There are very few comparable markets to San Antonio, Texas, in the major leagues. Yeah. Is all I'm saying.
Yeah,
all right.
It's a big city, but it's not one you think of.
It's like Bakersfield, California,
Austin, El Paso, are like the first four that I think of. Then it's San Antonio,
right? The other thing I want to mention, we talked about the Twins already, but it's remarkable how useless Carlos Correa is right now.
He's been playing better the last week, John.
He struck out twice tonight already, once with runners on. And it's not like Clayton Kershaw is blowing him away. Clayton Kershaw at this point in his career is throwing 85-mile-an-hour fastballs, 73-mile-an-hour curves, and it just
– He's played better over the last week, John. You're letting the small sample size get to you.
I won't let your optimism and your unwillingness to criticize get to me here. Why is Carlos Correa useless? Why are you defending him? And when did you know it?
It's a rough start. No one can deny that, but I'm fine with it.
Stu's a believer. All right, speaking of believers.
I just don't think he's cooked yet.
I'm not saying he's cooked. I'm saying he's useless. I'm not saying he's going to be useless forever. I'm saying he's useless right now.
He is useless right now, but that's okay. Fine. But he's less
useless. That's all I want to hear. That's all I wanted to hear you say, Stu. Okay. The other thing I want to hear you say is tonight's top six. I desperately want to hear that.
We can do that, but I actually had a request from a listener tonight, Derek Karen.
Good old Derek.
Just wanted to hear how pre-angry you are about the Gophers football schedule this fall.
Why? What does the Gophers football schedule look like? I can't remember now.
The difficulty... is off the charts, apparently. I know Ohio State and Michigan are on there. Wow. I know they have a road game against North Carolina, and they have a top two quarterback. And they have no, I believe their entire secondary is all transfers.
Well, that's the way college sports are now. You can't really, this is just the way it is. I was as unhappy as anybody. Everybody leaves the program in the offseason and you get 27 new guys. It's not like freshmen anymore. Mm-hmm. It's just, this guy, I don't even know who's left the program. I have no idea who's on the Gopher football team anymore. Is Travis Cole the quarterback?
I think it's Tanner Morgan's son. Yes, actually.
No, he's out of eligibility for sure.
He's a grad student.
There's no way that Tanner Morgan's kids are young enough to still be in college.
That's a fair point. No, they're boosters, actually.
This is the thing, and we probably talked about it on the podcast at the time. The Gophers had a window there where they didn't Ohio State on, they didn't have Michigan on, and they were 11-2 that one year. But even then, those losses were to Iowa and Wisconsin, and they didn't take advantage of it. So
all they had to do was beat Iowa last year, and Iowa did not play offense last year. That's all they had to do was beat Iowa, and they still couldn't do it.
Yeah. Now you pay the price. You pay the price of having to get your butt kicked by Ohio State and Michigan. I don't like it any more than anybody else does, but until they finally split the Big Ten into and have promotion and relegation and the Gophers can win the second division championship every year, that's just the way the world is.
It's not fair and it's not right, but they open they play August 31st against your Nebraska Cornhuskers, I believe.
On August 31st? This is stupid.
I know. Well, didn't last year, Nebraska played Notre Dame in
battlefield
in Ireland or something like
July 15th for some reason.
Yeah, the Pope was the halftime entertainment.
And the referee. Cuba. Yeah.
Yeah.
He dotted the I on Script Ohio, even though Ohio State wasn't
weird.
There.
It was just I think weird all blasphemy, but I don't know if it's blasphemy because it's in Ireland. So we just gotta let it happen.
Let's ask your dad in the car after Mass again.
Dick Bremer just seething. He's so mad right now still. I wish I had the game on. Just so I could
hear. How dare they talk about the Pope like this?
Oh, sorry, Dick.
Would never dot the I in Script Ohio.
No. As it turns out,
I'm not pre-angry about the Gopher schedule. I'm just plain angry.
Which, that happens.
Yeah. No, I want to get to the tops. I want to do the top six. I'm all excited about the top six.
All right.
Top six Brendan Fraser movies.
No, it is not. It's movies. It involves, let me see, 1, 2, 3, 4. Brendan Fraser is not on any of these that I can remember. But these are the top six movies per domestic box office returns on this day in 1998. 25 years ago, John.
Oh, man.
25 years ago.
This is exciting. This
is so exciting. No one knows.
25 years ago today, I was 16 years old.
Oh, man. I think I was 47.
Yeah.
Let's see. Number six, Titanic.
Yeah. That was on the charts for about 6 years consecutive.
Yeah, pretty much. It's total gross after this week when it was $572 million, which in today's money is a lot.
Was that a good movie?
Which case is 27 cents.
Did people feel like that was a good movie? I was in high school.
I've only seen it on cable and never all in one sitting. So. It's, it's James Cameron, it's got, it's got a good love story in it. It's got explosions, got Billy Zane. So you've got a movie.
Love story, explosions, and Billy Zane. That's the three things you need to make a movie.
But pretty much, or just literally anything, but definitely a movie about a nautical disaster. So
that's right.
That's number six. Number five, He Got Game.
Oh.
My favorite Ray Allen movie. I hope.
Of all the Ray Allen movies, I saw one time there was a story. I don't know if this story is true or not. I can't remember whether Spike Lee was telling it or not, but apparently Denzel Washington played some basketball at whatever small college he went to. Mm-hmm. And so they were doing this scene and Ray Allen knows that his character is supposed to win. And I think his character was supposed to win 11-0 in the script or whatever. Mm-hmm. And Denzel is actually out there playing. And after, in the movie, Denzel starts by winning a couple of points, and apparently at some point early on while they're filming that scene, Ray Allen was like, "Hey, time out. I'm supposed to win this 11-0." And Spike Lee was like, "Well," and so it was way more straight up than you thought. I think that's a fun story. I don't know if it's true.
I can't remember where
I saw that.
Even if it's not true, it's a fun story.
Yep.
And that's the sport of difference.
Yep, that's right.
Number four, City of Angels. Do you remember City of Angels, John?
I don't think I saw City of Angels, but the soundtrack was huge.
Oh, man. The Goo Goo Dolls. Everyone in the band was able to buy a house and a boat after that one.
And a houseboat.
And a houseboat.
The big three, the house, the boat, and the houseboat. Was that the one? That was Nicolas Cage, right?
Nicolas Cage and Meg Ryan. Nicolas Cage played an angel.
Played an angel that was in love with Meg Ryan?
I believe so. And he was going
Maybe
to
I did like, see this movie.
He was going to forfeit his immortality so he could live the life of a mortal. and experience true love with Meg Ryan, who was still Meg Ryan at the time, just had the curls and all that. Just it was good stuff.
I couldn't tell
you anything else about the movie other than the two people who are in it and Iris by the Goo Goo Dolls.
Yes.
That's about it. Number three, Quest for Camelot.
What the heck
is
that?
I have no idea. I don't know. It could be a cartoon. It could be live action.
It could be
a TikTok that they sent back in time to 1998. I don't know. So if anyone knows anything about Quest for Camelot, leave it in our social mentions, because we don't know. I don't remember that movie either.
Quest for Camelot?
Quest for Camelot.
It either sounds like a cartoon or somehow a bad made-for-TV movie about JFK.
Yeah, it's hard. Yeah, I mean, that might actually be. No, can't be. It's May. It's when they put all the blockbusters. Yeah. It's either a cartoon or an action movie about with like knights and jousting and shit.
So, all right.
Number two, The Horse Whisperer.
I never saw this movie either. Who is in The Horse Whisperer?
I believe it was Robert Redford. I think he was the Whisperer. But I don't know that it was Robert Redford that was The Horse Whisperer.
This started out strong with movies I remember, and now has really degenerated into movies that I could tell you nothing about.
You've heard of The Horse Whisperer before, but you don't know what it's about.
But was it like a serious Dr. Doolittle kind of movie where he could actually talk to horses?
No, you see, that would make it a better movie.
Or was it like The Constant Gardener that it was not about gardening?
It was not about gardening at all. Constant Gardener whips ass, by the way. That's a good movie. Weird name, but a good movie. Right. Rent that one. Go to your video store. Get that VC. Get that video cassette.
That's right.
Watch The Constant Gardener. That's the sportive guarantee. Number one, Deep Impact.
It was a great time. It was a great time for movies about meteors.
Yes, if you were into the apocalypse in 1998, brother, we had movies for you. We had Deep Impact. We had The Core.
Yeah, Armageddon.
We had Armageddon. We had The Horse Whisperer.
That was about meteors. There was the search for Camelot's meteors.
Yep. So that was... I kind of figured it was going to be one of those, because they like May is when they start putting out all the tentpole, bing, boom, explosion, cartoon, comic book movies. So I knew it was going to be one of those, and I was right. So,
Deep Impact sounds dirtier than it actually was.
Yes. Also, I can't remember who was in Deep Impact.
I can remember. I definitely saw Armageddon. But I can't remember anything about Deep Impact. It was the meteor movie that wasn't Armageddon.
Yeah. I can't remember who the fuck was in it. I was going to drive
it
me
wasn't,
nuts.
It I'm wasn't Aerosmith. It wasn't Aerosmith and Ben Affleck and
Steve Buscemi. Tyler was not in it. Steve Buscemi was not in it.
Bruce Willis
was not in it.
We're
just going to name actors who weren't in Deep Impact until we find the actors that... We're going to end up like, maybe John Cleese from Monty Python was in it. I don't know.
No, I'm sorry. That's A Fish Called Wanda.
That
was number one on this day in 1988.
Yeah, that's it's very possible, John. Those were your top six movies this day in 1998.
And we got to remember some movies, except for the cases in which we didn't remember the movie.
Yes. Yeah, if anyone's seen, again, I am dead serious about this. Please let me know if you've seen Quest for Camelot. Please let us know if it was live action or a cartoon. Please let us know who was the lead actor.
Was it a foreign film? Potentially?
No, it does not. It doesn't. It's put out by Warner Brothers, so it appears to be domestic. So,
And it was coming up. 98 was the summer of the first Star Wars prequel, wasn't it? So that was like coming up now.
Yes. I think, or not? I know I was 99.
Or it could have been 99.
It was 99.
Yeah. All right.
Who gives a shit?
We talked about actors that are not in Deep Impact. Now we're talking about movies that did not come out in 98.
Yeah, that's far.
This has been good. This has been nice.
Yeah, like the other scrolling here. The next week, it was Godzilla was number one.
Ooh, another soundtrack.
The Truman Show week after that.
Oh, that's a great movie. Do you like The Truman Show?
I do like The Truman Show. It's good stuff. Ed Harris, good stuff. X-Files movie, Dr. Doolittle.
Dr. Doolittle, we mentioned that already.
You got to get to the weekend of July 4th to get to Armageddon.
Oh, man.
So, yeah, good disaster. Or Deep,
right out there, there's somebody who wrote Deep Impact or produced Deep Impact that's just mad right now that I can't remember anything but Armageddon.
Yeah.
No, Deep Impact was superior every way.
Anyway.
That was a good top six, too. Yeah. I enjoyed that.
Yeah.
And for once, I could participate.
Oh, good. I'm happy to help. So I believe, is that it, John?
You got anything else? Do you want to plug anything?
No. I got nothing to plug. Cool? Looks like we just got a text from Brandon. He's not going to be able to make it. The kids are owly tonight.
I did have one thing I wanted to say. Tonight was the first night ever for me of youth sports. First practice. Really? Yep. I have mentioned this on the podcast, but my daughter is playing lacrosse this summer. She's six, so you can imagine how a six-year-old lacrosse looks. And it's fun because I know nothing about lacrosse. We've established on the podcast that I know a lot about a lot of sports, but this is one that I know nothing about. Can I tell you something that I learned tonight, Stu?
Sure.
When the ball is on the ground in lacrosse, you know what that's called?
A divot.
A ground ball.
Wow.
It makes perfect sense. What a great sport.
It really does.
They call it as they see it.
I can't dispute that. That makes sense. Yeah.
For me, it was really fun sitting and watching. You know, I'm obviously not coaching lacrosse because until a week ago, I couldn't have told you how many players are on a team. But it was fun sitting and watching my six-year-old do this, partially because, you know, she's playing a team sport. And, of course, for me, the guy who loves sports, that's just exciting. But also she's six, and so at one point the coach had to tell her and her friend that they needed to listen because they were busy putting grass in each other's hair instead of listening to the coach. And I was just delighted by it. It's just, I don't know what Chicken and Brandon are always complaining about with all the UU sports. I could do this every night of the week. This is great.
You're in the salad days as far as youth sports go. There's no expectations. They're just fun, and in theory, this will wear them out and get them to bed earlier too.
Yes, that didn't work, by the way.
No, it never does. But they say it will. It never does.
It never does. No, they never get tired. They're never ever tired.
You think they're gonna get tired? That you go to the bathroom, and you come out, they're sitting at the kitchen table with a cigarette and a cup of coffee.
Hey, Dad, what are you doing?
Dad, I'm ready.
No, clearly the coach of her team is, you know, her friend's dad, and he is in the grinder because he rushed in to get to practice because he was at a sixth grade track meet. And then after practice, he had to rush out because he had to get back to the sixth grade track meet. That's where Brandon and Chicken are. I mean, Chicken's doing midnight hockey practices in May, and Brandon is really the one that's right now. Oh, I got a coach. Two different baseball teams and somehow a softball team and two hockey teams right now. He's living the true youth sports grinder right now, where I'm just, you know, pulling up my lawn chair and watching kids who never held a lacrosse stick before play lacrosse. It's delightful. Anyway, I'm just saying I love being a youth sports parent one day into it.
I mean, there are martyrs from the Old Testament who see what parents do for youth sports. And they're like, you know, the Pharisees beat me to death with stones, but I wouldn't be caught dead doing this, and I'm dead.
But I'm not coaching baseball again.
I'm not coaching two youth sports at the same time.
More rocks. Get bigger rocks.
I'm not more rocks, Pharisees. Pussies. Do better. I apologize that the Pharisees were not supposed to be called pussies.
Man, when you get in the car with your dad after this podcast, the silence is going to last. Give a shit.
It's my mom I'm worried about.
I don't know what you're going to do.
I think the Pharisees are bad, but it's hard to say.
I think the Pharisees are bad. We're going to end there.
Yes, there we go.
That hot take. Pharisees equal bad. Thanks for listening to The Sportive. This has been Vacation Bible School with Stu and John.
Hi, This is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.